In this primer episode, we take a bit of a dive into our guest background, giving you a sneak peek into their origin story, as well as the challenges that they've faced and the things that drive them. If you enjoy what you hear, don't forget to listen to our main episode, which drops every Friday. And please do remember to like, subscribe, and rate us, as it really helps with our discoverability. Hello and welcome to this episode of the Nothing Ventured Primer with me, Arish Shah. Today, I'm really excited to have with me Toyosi Ogedengbe. Toyosi is a principal at Ascension Ventures, an early stage VC built by exited entrepreneurs to back the next generation of tech and impact founders. Prior to Ascension, Toyosi was a VC at Speed Invest, focused on marketplaces. Toyosi, great to have you in the studio. This has been a long time coming. Really looking forward to this.
Indeed. Great to be here, Arish.
Excellent. So let's jump straight in. For our audience, what was your first job?
Oh, my first job, I was actually stacking shelves at the local news agent in Dulwich.
Amazing. So, like, so far, I think a lot of the responses have been things like stacking shelves, working at Burger King. I worked at McDonald's. I think there's something to be said for that kind of very, very sort of physical and sort of customer facing almost kind of job, because it teaches you a huge amount kind of about how to deal with people, how to work to a routine, how to work processes. No doubt you had a similar experience, or maybe you were just like slogging it out and just trying to get to the end of the day.
Well, to be honest, I did it because I needed a job. I needed money in my pocket.
Yeah.
I was on a gap year and I was trying to get a job, and it didn't happen quickly, so needed to pay the bill somehow.
Yeah, no, I hear that very much so. And what did you do before you got into venture?
Ooh, good question. So that's a little bit of a longer answer. Did two things. Career-wise, I was a management consultant, actually, strategy and ops, in a company called Bearing Point. Did that for a few years. And then after that, I then founded a company that was connecting tech companies in Africa to private investors. And it was there, really, that the love of startups really started to build.
And that was Creandum, was it?
No. Actually, so the company that I started was called AFI, AfriFind Invest.
Okay.
So it was kind of like a marketplace or a platform. So think a little bit like crowdfunding-ish. Mm-hmm. So on the one side, you have the companies from Africa, and we'll talk about Africa later on in the podcast, I'm sure. And then on the other side, you had private investors who were interested in backing, you know, high growth, amazing potential companies in Africa.
Mm-hmm. Okay, makes a lot of sense. And so what was it then triggered your move into VC?
So actually, before I founded the company with a friend of mine, I had angel invested in two companies, both in Africa at the time. One was a clean tech company out of Uganda. The other was an e-commerce business out in Nigeria. Mm-hmm. And both of those, I just enjoyed the process. Like the process of liaising with entrepreneurs, helping them think through their strategies, actually backing them with capital that was going to be meaningful, no matter how small. And then that dynamic of sort of like founder-investor relationship. And because I get bored easily, I didn't want to sort of build something myself for like 5-10 years. I'm like, no, that's not me. I would much rather just be the person who puts money in multiple different companies, and hence why I'm in VC. So that was really the thing that tipped it over the edge.
Yeah, that, I mean, like, again, completely relate to that. I'm exactly the same. I can't do the one thing, slog it out for 10 years. I realized that recently after having tried to launch something and slog it out for 10 years. But anyway, that's another story. And what would you be doing if you weren't an investor?
Ooh, this is a good question. I'd probably just be chilling out on a beach with my family.
Nice.
Doing a lot of traveling. I love traveling. Uh-huh. Actually, traveling, food, basketball, spending time with family, and just walks in the park somewhere where the weather's always hot.
So
that's probably what.
So you're probably talking Southern Hemisphere-ish.
Yes.
And correct. Certainly not the UK. Okay, so you made the right choice. Although we've been having a good run of it, so I don't want to jinx it. Let's see what happens over the next couple of weeks. But okay, let's talk about Ascension for a second. So could you give us a bit of background about Ascension, the AUM, what stages it invests at, what sectors, what geographies, minimum check size, all
absolutely.
That good stuff.
Absolutely. So as you said earlier, Ascension Ventures is basically a pre-seed and seed fund that was founded by exited entrepreneurs. And now we're effectively still that, except that it's got a bit bigger over time. It started back in 2015, maybe 2014, can't remember the actual year. But essentially, AUM at the moment, on a relative scale, is small. Mm-hmm. But interesting things are coming. Okay. Watch this space.
Excellent.
So first of all, AUM is 80 million, I think, or 85 million pounds. In terms of the industries that we back, we basically back anything tech or tech-enabled, mm-hmm. whether that's like commerce, fintech, health tech, sustainability, we do quite a bit of that, new media, or we call it new media. And that, a lot of that is off the back of the founders' previous experience. So they basically found a media company, two of the partners founded a media company back in the day. And then in terms of check sizes, so we do round about on average 250K checks on, and this is important to say. So we're kind of split into two. You've got the tax efficient side, mm-hmm. and then you've got the
EIS fund, presumably.
Yeah, so SEIS and EIS.
Right.
Pre-seed and seed, mm-hmm. but then we also have the institutional side, and we're quite different in that regard because we're kind of like an impact fund, mm-hmm. on the institutional side. So what that means is trying to address, right now we're actually raising Ascension Fund 3, and so we're basically trying to address poverty. Mm-hmm. So the bottom 50% of the people in the UK who are... or maybe even globally to an mm-hmm. extent, but largely predicated on the UK. We're trying to target the bottom 50%. And so any company that is building things to improve access to, let's say, energy, education, transport, and bring the costs down, mm-hmm. Or food, et cetera, then those are the kind of companies that we want to back. Now, it's interesting because I don't necessarily think that profit and purpose are separated. And again, we'll talk about Africa in a second. But I think there are some companies that are just building things that I would argue they don't really matter. Or maybe they do matter, but the extent, or the impact.
We could get into like 15-minute grocery and all that sort
exactly,
of stuff, right? Interestingly, we had Zeka Len on the podcast recently from Responsibly VC out in, he's based out in Southern California. And I had this debate with him because I've always had this kind of very strong opinion almost that it is very hard as a founder to be impact focused and raise from venture capital because you potentially ultimately sacrifice either the impact or the returns, right? It's very hard to marry those two things up. But I guess, and I think this is the argument that most impact funds would make, is that if you impact people directly and in a massive way, then actually the returns are there. The kind of counter argument to that, and it's an N of one, so you know we can debate whether it's valuable to talk about or not, is something like What Three Words, where yes, could be massively impactful, but doesn't seem to have found a sustainable business model, and maybe Correct. Should just be a social good rather than a venture. And yes, we will talk more about this sort of stuff, I think, when we get on to talking about Africa in the main podcast. If you were to think about three ventures, either inside or outside the portfolio, they're really excited about, what would they be?
That's a tough question.
It always is.
It always is. So the three companies I would probably just rat off straight out the bat are Farmland mm-hmm. is one. Freightcore is two.
Farmland. Yeah, I've come across them before. Yeah.
It's actually I'm cheating a little bit here, but that's actually one of our portfolio companies here at Ascension.
Yeah.
Freightcore is the second one, also an Ascension portfolio company. And then the third one is actually outside of that, and it's called Matta, M-A-T-T-A. Mm-hmm. And that's actually based out in Nigeria. Now, Farmland, just for everybody who's listening, is a B2B marketplace for fresh produce. So think suppliers on one side, and actually the supply comes mainly from North Africa, so Egypt, and effectively you've got huge packer shippers mm-hmm. or exporters mm-hmm. of fresh produce, so think fruit and veg, let's make it simple, and then you have buyers in the likes of North America, Europe, GCC, and so on and so forth. And effectively what Farmland is doing is, number one, enabling those suppliers to be able to do more volume with their existing buyers. Mm-hmm. So that's number one. But also through that, the buyers are discovering more suppliers. And so eventually they're going to be able to do their whole supply chain at any point in time in the year, mm-hmm. accounting for seasonality, but still not have any dips.
Got it.
In supply.
In supply. And
because they have multiple different suppliers from different regions, and then they're enabled to do all of that through farmland. And they take care of everything. The logistics, the payments, the marketplace, the whole lot.
Amazing.
So that's farmland. FreightCore is a digital freight forwarder. Now, everyone hears digital freight forwarder and they think, oh, but there are loads of those. There's Flexport, there's, I guess, Zen Cargo and so on. The difference with FreightCore, however, is it's really technology driven. A lot of, and this is no disrespect to the guys who've gone before us, a lot of digital freight forwarders, you find when you look under the hood, there's quite a large number of people.
Yeah, manual processes,
ops
heavy.
Correct, very ops heavy.
Yeah.
Now, the difference is FreightCore is really using technology to drive, specifically at the moment, ocean freight at like 80% less people and 80% less cost. And actually, if you think about technology and what it does in industries, that's how efficiencies come, right?
Yeah.
And so that's FreightCore. And then the last one, Mata, it's interesting. They're all sort of marketplace-y, but that says
surprising.
A lot about, yeah, surprising. That says a lot about me as an investor, right? And network effects and whatnot. So last one is Mata, and that's a B2B marketplace for chemicals based out in Nigeria, doing amazingly well. And yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that develops over time. But yeah, good things coming.
Amazing. Okay, Toyosi, absolutely incredible. Thank you so much. And look forward to discussing some of the more deeper topics in the main podcast. But it's been great having you here in the studio with me.
Thanks for having me, Harish.
Amazing.
Ciao.